Over the past several weeks, people have been asking me, and I'm sure they've been asking you, are you ready for Christmas? What they mean, of course, is have you done all your Christmas shopping? Did you get all the right gifts for everyone on the list? Now, don't get me wrong. All of this is good because we give these gifts out of love. But many times, with all that goes on this time of year, with all that we have to do and all the places we have to go, with all of the parties and meals and cards and gifts, we can miss the most important gift of all, Emmanuel, God Himself with us. In just a few days, Christmas will be here and gone. The tree will come down. Size 36 will be exchanged for size 40. Eggnog will go on sale for half price, and the magic will begin to fade. If we don't take the time that's left to reflect on what Christmas really means for us, we could be waking up next Saturday morning having missed the greatest gift that anyone has ever received. The one gift that really keeps on giving, the one gift that can change our world forever. In our gospel scene this morning, Mary, Elizabeth, and even the unborn baby, John the Baptist, knew that the world was about to receive its greatest gift, and that they were each somehow going to play a role in the story of salvation. The story of salvation is about a God who loves people, a God who came to fulfill our greatest need. Jesus came to fulfill our greatest need as only that baby in Bethlehem could. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, He would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, He would have sent us an economist. But our greatest need was none of these. Our greatest need was salvation. So God sent us a Savior. God was revealed in the lowliest of places to those who would seem to be some of the lowliest of people. You see, if the wisdom of God were revealed in the wisdom of man, then only the wise could know Him. If God were revealed only in the strength of men, then only the strong could know Him. If God were revealed in the accomplishments of man, then only the proud could know Him. If God were revealed in the wealth of man, then only the rich could know Him. But God chooses to reveal Himself in those who are the least in the world, so that when the miracle of salvation shines forth in them, He alone receives the glory. Jesus was born in poverty. He was born in poverty so He can reach those who were poor in spirit. He was born in poverty so the world would know that the poor are welcome. He was born in poverty to show that salvation was not a privilege reserved for a fortunate few. He was born in poverty to show that salvation could not be purchased at any price. Christian writer Max Lucado tells a story about a trip to Disney World, during which he and his family sought a place to rest in Cinderella's castle. Unfortunately, so did everyone else. The place was absolutely packed with kids and parents. Suddenly, all the kids rushed to one side. Had it been a boat, it would have tipped over. Cinderella had arrived. Cinderella, the pristine princess, a gorgeous young girl with each hair in place, flawless skin and a beaming smile. She stood waist deep in a garden of kids, each wanting to touch and be touched. The other side of the castle was now vacant, except for a boy, maybe 7 or 8 years old. His age was hard to determine because of the disfigurement of his body. Dwarfed in height, face deformed, he stood watching quietly and holding the hand of his older brother. Don't you know what he really wanted? He wanted to be with all the other children. He longed to be in the middle of the kids, reaching out to Cinderella and calling her name. But don't you feel his fear? Fear of yet another rejection? Fear of being taunted again, mocked again? Don't you wish Cinderella would go to him? Well, she did. She noticed the little boy, and she immediately began walking in his direction. Politely but firmly, she inched her way through the crowd of children, and finally she broke free. She walked quickly across the floor, knelt down at eye level with the stunned little boy, and placed a kiss on his face. That story reminds me of another royal figure. The names are different, but the story is almost the same. Rather than a princess of Disney, these essays called Gospels tell us about the Prince of Peace. Rather than a boy in a castle, these stories are about real people like you and me. In both cases, a gift was given. In both cases, love was shared. In both cases, the lovely one performed a gesture beyond words. But Jesus did more than Cinderella. Oh, so much more. Cinderella gave only a kiss. When she stood to leave, she took her beauty with her. The boy was still deformed. What if Cinderella did what Jesus did? What if she'd assumed his state? What if she somehow gave him her beauty and took on his disfigurement? That's what Jesus did. He took on our suffering and felt our pain. Oh, make no mistake about it. Jesus gave more than a kiss. He gave us his beauty. He paid more than a visit. He paid for our mistakes. He took more than a minute. He took away our sins so that we could live forever. The omnipotent made himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. He who sustains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God as a fetus. Holiness sleeping in a womb. The creator of life being born. Jesus was given eyebrows, elbows, 2 kidneys, and a spleen. God came near. He came not in a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty. There was no silk, no hype, no party. Except for his earthly parents, he was born as he died, alone. There was no hospital, no doctor, no midwife. He didn't come with pomp and circumstance. His primary mission was to sacrifice, suffer, and die for you and me, not to be a king. Were it not for those shepherds, there would have been no reception. And were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. Angels watched as Mary changed God's diaper. The universe would watch with wonder as the Almighty learned to walk. This baby had once overlooked the universe. These rags keeping him warm were once the robes of eternity. His golden throne room had been abandoned in favor of a dirty sheep pen, and worshiping angels had been replaced by kind but bewildered shepherds. Those who missed His Majesty's arrival on that first Christmas night, like those of us that will miss it this week, did not miss it because of evil acts or malice. No, they missed it because they simply weren't looking. They just weren't prepared. They were distracted. Their lives were so filled with so many less important things that they missed it. Little has changed in 2,000 years. Friends, it's still Advent, and He is still coming. So for God's sake, let's not miss it this time. Amen, church.